Well, good morning and welcome, friends. Let's enter into worship. The psalmist said, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise." Would you turn to Matthew chapter 5 and the first 12 verses, chapter 5. In Bible days, when the Word of God was read, the people stood. Read together these first 12 verses, the Beatitudes, and perhaps we can learn in summary this morning what this is all about. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. You know, and he sat. His disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Let's remain standing for prayer. Our Father, we've come to your precious word. It's a storehouse of great things. And this morning we ask that as we desire to look upon this section of the Beatitudes that our precious Lord Jesus gave there on the mountain, we pray that we might have understanding, that your gracious Spirit, the Spirit of God, would have recourse with each of us. How easy it is, Lord, to be pretentious and hide behind something. But, Lord, you know the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Deal with us. We ask for mercy. We ask for love. But we ask for correction if we need it. And so, our Father, look upon us as we are needy. And we know we have not arrived. But we have Christ. And that's sufficient. But help us to be desirous of living for our Lord Jesus Christ while we're here on this earth. So, once again, Father, bless the word to our hearts. May the intent that you have for us this morning be fulfilled. For we pray in the name of Christ, who loved us and gave his life for us. Amen. Please be seated. I have entitled this morning the summary of this section, "Glorious Birthmarks." Now you say that, you don't know what you're talking about. No. It does seem that everything that in these Beatitudes are upside down from the way I've been taught and the way you've been taught. And so, birthmarks are not something that most people delight in having. But if you see these 8 birthmarks, of people who are genuine Christians, who are born again, who love the Lord Jesus. And then you'll say, yes, now I can understand it a little bit. I hope we can understand it. The background is necessary. These are the words of the Lord Jesus on we call it a Sermon on the Mount. And you'll notice in verse 1, it has to do with disciples. It's not a salvation evangelistic gathering. No. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples, they came unto him. Get it right. This is not evangelistic, but it has, certainly, it'll speak to our hearts, our depraved hearts. But disciples, learners. And he tells them that these are the characteristics of real Christians. You need to ask yourself, as I'll ask myself, do I have this birthmark, these 8 birthmarks? And if you have them, the word is congratulations. Where do you find congratulations? Every time you see the word blessed, it has that connotation that you're fortunate. And congratulations, if you have that particular birthmark. These are not selective. Say, well, I'll go for that one there. I think, no. A Christian has them all. You say, well, they aren't really, you know, really strong, but you have them. And you see why we need to work at some of these things. Now, if you've arrived, you might as well go to sleep. If you think you have all the answers, because some people think they have arrived, they don't need to know. I've been there, done that. I don't need to hear this. Some of us heard the Beatitudes for a long time. But I must admit to you, did we really hear them? Do we really know what they mean? Polly wants a cracker. What? It's easy to say some of these things, but do you know what it really means? Parents don't really know what they mean. They do it by instinct, I believe. Now, if we're talking about birthmarks, let me just make something, an observation that I want to make. You know, getting a tattoo is an in thing. I saw on YouTube a preacher, and he has tattoos all over him, all around. I wonder if the preacher got them after he was saved. If he did, it shows he's rather ignorant. Now, before salvation, hey. We can excuse somebody. But basically, disfiguring one's body is paganism. I don't think I need to say more about that. I'm talking about birthrights. And they say, that's contrary. Nobody wants to see a birthright on my cheek. No. We're talking about these glorious birthrights that come by the Spirit of God upon people who really know the Lord Jesus. It's a difference. Not evangelistic. How to get saved. It's my people have these distinctive marks and they're glorious. Congratulations. I don't think anybody would congratulate you if you had a birthmark, especially your face or something. It's upside down. It said the early Christians turned the world upside down. Are you turning people upside down with your life as a Christian? I ask myself. Come on now, let's do a little homework while we're here. Don't be a duck and let it run off your head and your body. It's very close. And the Lord says, Lord Jesus, I don't understand. He said, that's right. It's a natural man does not understand the things of God. It's contrary to the principles and opinions of those of the world. The world doesn't teach these things as these eight beatitudes. The world doesn't teach stuff like that. Come on. It's the exact opposite. For instance, to be rich means to be poor. See? Come on. He's not talking about material things. Well, now, that could change it. It does. And to live and to be filled with God is to die to the world and to oneself. I want to be filled with God. I want to be what God wants me to be. Then you have to die to yourself and to the world. That's contrary to what I've been taught in school. And to be wise is to become a fool. Come on, Lord. But that's what he's teaching here. He also says to be exalted is to be brought low. To be exalted is to be brought low, Lord? Is that what you're saying in these lists? And you're going to congratulate me if I have these glorious birthmarks? I said, that's right, every one of them, I congratulate you. You're fortunate. Well, God says it's a blessing if you have these marks, distinctive characteristics. Though the world can understand, and if your old heart says, I don't understand it, better say, dear Lord, I think maybe I have need to be saved. That goes for all of us, including the preacher. If you don't have these, you better say, well, Lord, I think something's wrong here. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. Well, the first one we have here is in verse 3, chapter 5 of Matthew in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You said, well, you preached on that. I know I did. I'm trying to close up and give a summary of this. It's going to be hard. But I've got a good start on it, time-wise. It's talking about a bankruptcy, a spiritual bankruptcy. Well, I don't understand. spiritual bankruptcy. It's not talking about bankruptcy materially. It's like we had turned to Luke 18, and it's so good, I might as well go back there again. Why can I? I can't improve upon that illustration the Lord gave in Luke chapter 18. Starting at verse 10, I can't improve upon that. If you grasp this, I think you'd understand what it means to be poor in the spirit. A birthmark of being a characteristic of being a Christian is, as we find here, especially by the publican. Now in verse 10 of the 18th chapter of Luke, the Lord Jesus said there's two men went up into the temple to pray. Now the one is a Pharisee. Do I have to take time to tell you what a Pharisee is? He knows the Bible. He's a Bible person. He's a Bible-toting person. He knows it. And he just hammer on you if, you know, like some, like those preachers. He's just full of the Bible. A lost fundamentalist. Some of you don't even know what that means. And the other is a publican. Well, he is in the business of collecting the taxes. And so the Pharisee, verse 11, he stood, this is how he prayed. This is the big shot, like in churches, maybe even in our church. People who do this, they pray within themselves and saying, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Hey, I'm a pretty good guy. You know that, don't you, Lord? And not only that, I'm not an extortioner. I don't skim off a top of money. You know, some people skim. Every time you turn the TV on, some treasurer of some sort has skimmed money off of money that was given in. Skimmers. No, Lord, I've never been a skimmer. Unjust. And he says, I'm not like the unjust. I'm not adulterers either. Or even like this publican. Boy, that's prayer, isn't it? He said, I'll tell you all something better than that. I fast twice a week. And I give a tithe of all that I possess. I give 10% or more in love gifts. Wowzer. And he says, we get the publican now. Now, don't get the impression he's poor. He's probably not poor. And here's the publican. He's standing afar off. He would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, that is the Pharisee. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself, he shall be exalted. Wow, what words. You see this publican, he was a spiritual nobody. He wasn't a big shot Bible bragging type of a person who was lost like the Pharisee. And something here you got to get in this. And has to do with the spirit. For it says here, blessed are the poor in spirit. It's the spirit of God. I'm back in Matthew 5 and verse 3. It's the spirit of God that makes the change. And so he called. He cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Brethren, if you haven't done that, see, I've talked to people, they said, well, I don't know, I've always been brought up in the church. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Sin all the time, I don't even know what you're talking about. I've been a good boy, I've been a good girl. See, you're probably a Pharisee if you've not been born again. Nice guy, maybe. But I'll show your heart. God will show your heart, even if you think you're a nice gal or a nice girl or boy. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, what does it mean? Beatitude number one, to be poor in spirit. That's what it means. It means that the whole thing that as David cried out, three times he cried out. David was not a poor man. King David. He says in Psalm 40 and 70 and 86, he said, I am poor and needy. Now, wait a minute. He's the king. I am poor and needy. How do you figure it out? It's contrary to the world's view. How can you be poor and needy when you're the king and you have everything you want? He's talking about he sees himself actually as he is, a sinner, and he's spiritually bankrupt. You don't have anything good to take to God. You think you have something good to show God? Say, well, God, I've been a pretty good guy. You know, I do what I do. I do what I do. Go to church and I tithe. And I said, you don't have anything. You don't have anything. That has its place. But it doesn't have for salvation. I'm talking, he says, those who have the birthmark, they demonstrate they have experienced what it means to be spiritually bankrupt and see they have nothing to bring to God. We're all sinners, not had by God. There's not a thing that we can say, God, look at me, I'm really somebody. No, you have the attitude of a poor in spirit. Such persons, after hearing the gospel, they have repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, congratulations! You're fortunate! You're blessed! Yeah, but you're blessed! Most Pharisees, they're not blessed. Oh, well, Lord, is that what it means? That's what it means. How about the second one? In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. No, that's contrary. That's an upside down thing too for the world to see. And that is, there are folk who are deeply disappointed. Disappointed. They mourn over their sin. And they don't do it with a show. You do it by yourself. Some people like to put on public shows of how great sinners they are. No. Blessed are they that mourn and they have a deep disappointment about their sin. They're hurt. They hurt down deep. They're disappointed over a sin that's still in their lives. He's talking to the Christians, disciples, having still sin in their lives. Thought, word, and deed. And they have to sing that song and say, I can sing that song. This road is not my home. I'm just passing through. There's better things ahead than this old world. You can be happy that you have what you have and you think you got everything made and this is a lovely place and the flowers are beautiful and they are, but I'm telling you something, down deep in the heart, it's disappointed. It's not all that I need. I need something further. I need to go home and to be with the Lord, which is far better. Do you know anything about being disappointed with yourself? He said, congratulations if you're disappointed with yourself. Not with Christ. Oh, no. Not with Christ, but with self. All right, quickly, let's go on. What's the next one? Well, it's verse 5. And that is the third one. And it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well now, Lord, that's something too. Blessed are meek. That has the idea of inadequacies. In fact, the word meek has the idea of complete inadequacy. That's contrary to the world. See, I've been educated, you see. I know my way around town. Said, well, you're not a Christian if you haven't come to the place where you realize how inadequate you really are in yourself. Yes, we sang sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. Moses, I bring you up here. Moses, come here once. What do you want? Didn't I read about you back there in the wilderness? God said, I want you. And he says, Lord, I can't. You don't want me. I can't do it. Some people said, yes, sir. Thank you very much. I can do anything you want me to do. I'm just so wonderful. Moses was a great man. And the Lord said, by my grace, Moses, you can do it. I know by nature you're feeling of complete inadequacy, Moses, that great man of God. And it says he was a very meek man. Did it mean he was weak? Read about him. A weakling? Most people think meek means weak. It doesn't mean weak. It means that he is a man who recognizes that it's only God that can make a difference in one's life. Aye. Well, but it's contrary. Now, my wife bought some little plants for a gift, and it says it's not native to our area. It's for a house. And I thought, they're beautiful little things. Beautiful. There are some flowers that bloom that are not native to this area. Do you know who you are by nature? Should I describe you? No, I'd rather you wouldn't describe. Describe yourself, preacher. Maybe that'll help. Maybe we can understand it. If you describe yourself, preacher, don't pick on anybody else. Okay, let me describe. Oh, I am by nature. By the way, his shoe fits you too. What am I by nature? Well, certainly not meek. And by nature, I am proud. I don't know what to be proud about. We're all proud. What we have, we're proud. Look in the mirror, we don't hate ourselves. Proud. Pride sticks out all over us by nature. No, seriously. Seriously. And by nature, not only that, we're arrogant. Some people are really arrogant. I mean, really arrogant. What do you want? Huh? What's your problem? Why don't you do it right? What's the matter with you? Arrogant. You already described the preacher. Yeah, by nature. I'm describing you too. By nature. No. By nature you don't know yourself. Socrates says, know thyself. And that still isn't par for today. Know yourselves! Oh, you talk about yourself, preacher. All right. By nature, I'm haughty. It's from the fall of the garden. A haughty person. Hey, understand why you can't do it. If you had any brains, you can do it. What's the matter with you? Everybody has to be hot shot. I'm an expert. Come on, don't do that to me. What's further? Vengeful. I'll get even with you. I'll get even with you. You wait and find out. By nature, by lost condition. But it's the exact opposite if you have the birthmark of being meek. Do you have the birthmark of meekness? Or do you still have all those markings, those ugly birthmarks of the old nature? And by nature, we are hateful. We are full of hate. I'm surprised. People walk up to you and say that they hate this, they hate that. And envy. Man, doesn't he think he's smart? He got a new car. I don't have a new car. Wish I had a new car. Wish I had a house like that. What's the matter? Envy. Jealous. It's not true, preacher. It's true. Galatians 5 makes it clear that these things are so. But not only that, we find that we have a desire for strife. Come on. Want to fight? I saw boys at this fair one time said, I'm looking for a hassle. Walking down to the fair, let's look for a hassle. What do they call it? I'm looking for a rumble. And there are preachers by nature maybe we're looking for a rumble. But you also in your lost estate, you want to rumble. You want to strive with people. Put them in their place. Is that what you're doing this morning? I'm giving you God's word. And he says, call out, cry out. These are things that somehow or other the world has so fastened our understanding, we can't understand it. It's an upside down world to look at these things. And I believe most people don't even know what the Beatitudes are all about. Lovely. Bob Schuller, he calls them happy-tudes. Now speak positive. That isn't what the Lord is saying here. You know, if you're weak and you're sickly and you don't have anything hardly and you don't have money, it's easy to be meek. But you give a man a job, he makes a lot of money. You give him authority. He has a place of authority. He can tell people to do this and do that. And he's a big shot. And I'll tell you, you won't find meekness. By the way, if you sometimes think that you really are somebody big shot, how did you get what you got? You like to argue about it with the evolutionist in the beginning of creation. Let me say, how did you get what you've got? Or was it my own doings, my own smart? Really? Who made you? Where did you get all this? It wasn't you. It's God. The Bible speaks again and again. It says, you know what? That He makes you rich. He makes you rich and He makes you poor. Yeah. It says that. God is the one that gives you the ability to make. And He also says that He exalts. God exalts and He also brings down. He also says kings. He says, I make kings and I unseat kings. He also says, I kill. God. He says, I kill and I make alive. Wow. It is interesting, isn't it? If you really are not a proudful person and you're humble, what a change. You'll find that you'll be kind and you'll be generous and you'll be grateful for God's blessing other people. What a change. He said, I'll tell you what happens. Congratulations, because where you are now is going to change, and the future, you're going to live on a new heaven and a new earth. Congratulations, if you have that characteristic of being meek. How you doing? Some of you students have better listen up this morning. I expect to have some A's from you. Brag about how good you are. See how good you are taking the test. This is God's test. This isn't preachers. What do you say about the next one, Lord? Well, that's the fourth one. That's verse 6, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Well, what does that say? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger and thirst. Well, I'm not hungry. I had breakfast. I'm not necessarily thirsty unless I'm preaching. I'm pretty well satisfied. Hey, well, what's the matter here? He says, if you're not hungry and thirsty, you're not blessed. Can't say congratulations. Can't tell you that you're fortunate. Well, what do you mean to be hungry and thirsty? He says, after righteousness. That is, the idea of this fourth one is that after that which will please God. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty to do that which will please the Lord. I want to please the Lord. I want God to be glorified. Not Bill Robbins. God. Well, wonderful. I hope it's true. Do you want to walk so that God is pleased with you? Yeah, that's what it means. That's verse 6. To walk that God will be pleased with you. Not saying, you know, that's my boy down there, but he doesn't seem to pay attention. He just seems to do his own thing, and he just cock of the walk, and he just doesn't pay attention to the Word of God. So, wait a minute. I'm not going to congratulate my son. I might take him out of the woodshed. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. I don't want any chastisement. Do you want to lick it? Maybe you like to be beat. I don't like to be beat. Oh. So I want to walk in such a way. It's twofold. It's a twofold thing in verse 6. What's twofold? Well, there is this matter that we do, we have through the Spirit. We have imputed righteousness. Christ imputed righteousness. I like that. You say, well, I don't know what that means. Oh, hold on a minute. If we had showed repentance towards God, that we are indeed poor in spirit and we're mournful over our conditions, but He's worked in our lives and He's congratulating us, and now I'm getting to this matter of being hunger and thirst after righteousness, and I have this matter of I want to really please the Lord. He said, well, I've made you perfect, son. Well, Father, it doesn't seem like I'm perfect walking here in this side of life. He said, but you have an imputed righteousness that comes through Christ, and that's perfection. But you're still in the flesh. You've not been glorified. And you have to work at the second part of this business of righteousness, and that is to have the fruit of the Spirit. What? To demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit is to show that you have a hunger and thirst to please the Lord. Well, what characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit are you talking about, Lord? He said, well, it's in Galatians there about joy, and you have faith and love, and you have patience and gentleness and kindness and grace and mercy. Oh, wow. That's quite a list, Lord. He said, if you have a hunger and thirst to please me, those characteristics, those birthmarks, they'll be demonstrated in your life. And it's the opposite of the whole world. It's His love. It isn't a matter of a law life. It's Christ's life. If you have a hunger and thirst after righteousness, what does He say? He said, congratulations. He said, I'm going to fill you. Oh, boy. What's the next one? Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Oh, well, now that's something. I'll tell you how to be merciful. If I'm merciful to you, you'll be merciful to me. That's how I think it should be. That's the way the world says. Be merciful to people, and you'll receive mercy in return. Yeah, is that the way it is? But you see, this is talking about God's mercy, not your mercy. How do I get God's mercy? Look at it. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. They have received mercy from God. Now that makes a difference. And it works like this. If you're a merciful person, excuse me, something happens that offends you. You say, could you forgive him? Forgiveness is a characteristic, a birthmark. It's being merciful. Do you have a heart that would forgive? Or do you have all those ugly things that I had to spill out about by nature, how that we don't have forgiveness? I've had a man out here by the shed talking one day. He said, well, maybe I can forget. Now listen to me, this is true. He told me about a person. He said, I can forget it, but I can't forgive him. A grown man, a businessman out there by the shed told me. He said, I can forget, I forgive. No, I can forget, but I can't forgive him. His own son-in-law. That man does not have the birthmark of being merciful. That man's not saved. Based upon this, if you don't have this glorious birthmark, you're not saved if you can't forgive. You walk around, can't forgive him. I'll never forgive him. I'll never forgive him. What he's done to me, what he's done to me, I'll never forgive him. I tell you, it gets pretty close if you want to understand what the Beatitudes are all about. And there was a time I didn't know what the Beatitudes were all about. Boy, they're nice to read. I used it, and I think it's a poor translation. happy. Happy. You want happy toots. Boy, I'm telling you, it goes deep. You know, Spurgeon said, you take a daisy, like this. You take a daisy, and he says, the first thing you have a whole medal. What, Spurgeon? Take a daisy, and the first thing you know, you have a whole medal. Yeah. If you study biology and under a microscope and so forth, and oh boy, there's so many things in just a daisy. And to study, first thing you got a lot of papers about what's this daisy's all about. And you take one of these beatitudes, just one of them, and you open that up and you'll find out how deep they really are. They're like a metal. Sometimes we get the idea, well, I know all this. Which is, you have to open it up and see what's there. That beautiful flower. And you might find a lot of things in that. Medicinal and everything else in a daisy. Yes, Spurgeon, I think you got the point. I got the point. But merciful. And so if you're not forgiving others, it shows that you don't have this one. And you can't say congratulations if you're holding out on somebody and you can't forgive them. But if you have a forgiving heart, and in spite of the whole circumstances, congratulations, it is. That's what the Word of God says. You're fortunate if you can do that. A lot of people can't do that. I can't forgive. Never will. Oh, come on to something better, please. Well, this is good, though, because Christ tells you, Christ gives you all this. He takes you, turns you upside down from the way of the world and saves you, forgives you, give you a heart and desire to get home to be with the Lord Jesus. And I tell you, it just shows you what you are. It's good to see what you are and to see what Christ can do for a sinner such as myself. Oh, don't. Yes. Well, the sixth one, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. Should we go home on this one? Just for blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You can't say subjectively that you're pure. Objectively, Christ has saved you and you have perfect righteousness. But you can't say subjectively that you're pure. Because you've got enough of the old nature in thought, word, and deed. You say, I'm having a problem. You're not going to say that? We've got problems. But isn't it something to be congratulated that when God puts it in our hearts, a desire like he has here, a heart that is pure before God. What? A heart that God looks upon is pure because knows Christ, been born again, a genuine Christian, that person has been purified. And that person has a sincere love for the Lord Jesus, and what pleases the Lord Jesus is what I want! That's congratulations. If you have that beatitude. Pure. Purity. We could go on that, but we won't. So much impurity and morality today. But it means to be genuine in heart. Congratulations. Now what about these peacemakers, number 7 here, in verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemakers. Well, see, Jesus is called the King of Kings. He's the King of the Priest of Peace. That's right. Peace. And he gives us his peace. He gives us his disposition. Do you have a peaceful disposition that you want peace? Not to compromise it, but oh, genuine peace that comes from knowing the Lord. The peace that passes all understanding, coming to know Christ as Savior. A peace like that. You have a peace like that that passes all understanding? Whew, that's great. But if I find myself reverting back again, then I'm not a peacemaker, but a grumbler. I'm a grumbler. Grumble, grumble, grumble. a complainer. I'm going to straighten everybody out. No, you don't have it. You can't really be called a child of God if you're a grudge bearer. That's what it's saying. But if you have that peace the Lord Jesus gives, and you want peace for, with everybody. That's just the way you are. That I avoid it. I don't want to go. I don't want to fight. I don't have a disposition to fight. In fact, the matter is theologically, I'm a conscientious objector. I don't like war, as Mrs. Roosevelt or Franklin Roosevelt says, I hate war, and my Eleanor hate war. Well, did it show? I don't think so. But I don't want to rumble. I don't want to fight. Do you want to pick a fight? Then you don't have it. You say, well, I got some of them. No. It's a whole package. Either you have them all or you have none. No, it's not true. It is true. It's not a pick and say, I'm going to put that one. No. Either you got to have them all if you're a child of God. Or as it says there in that last part of verse 9. That's beautiful. Blessed are peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Children of God. And oh, that last one. And I'm going to say, if you want to know more about it, there's CDs available. Just talk to our recording secretary. She'll get them for you. One or all of these if you want them. But blessed are they which are persecuted. 10 through 12. And he said, I want to expand on that one. That particular birthmark, I need to expand on it. I'm going to give you 3 verses instead of 1. It's a matter of persecution. And if you're at least halfway awake, you see what's going on in the world today. What about it? Matthew 5, verse 10 through 12. Hear it again, the words of the Lord. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice! And be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That's the last beatitude. Probably the most important one. It needs to be expanded. It shows the cost of being a Christian. There's a price to pay to be a Christian. I know preachers said you come to Jesus and you'll have health and wealth and you'll be just first class and just wonderful. You come to Jesus. There is a sense spiritually, eternally, absolutely. But when you get on the bandwagon, now, wrong. Now is verses 10 through 12. You see, they had experienced all kinds of things. And today in many countries, friends, it's awful. It's awful. And it's simply because people still have, I told you before, this enmity towards God. Enmity towards God. Abel, he hated Cain, remember? Killed him, his own brother. Joseph's brothers, they hated him too. And David was hated by his father-in-law, Saul. You know the story right on down through. But once you're united to Christ, then you become like him. And you find that he speaks of eternal things, how to be saved, and those important matters. Well, to be persecuted, for righteousness. Whoa, for righteousness. You mean I can be persecuted for some dumb things I do? Yeah. So it doesn't cover that. The only basis it covers is the people who they are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. Oh. You know what these beatitudes do? You take it to most churches, including this church, and somebody's going to get a little grin. Ooh. Do you have to do it that way? Ooh. Listen, friends. Even though you may be nice and sweet and smiley, and you give the idea that everything's just fine with you, if you don't have these glorious birthmarks, you're not a Christian. That's what he's saying here. Oh, but I know Jesus. You can say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these things? I've done all these things. He said, depart me, I don't even know you. What? After doing all those things. There's going to be in that day of judgment, there are going to be people say, Lord, said twice, Lord, Lord, I've done all these things, you mean I... He said, I don't, depart from me, I never knew you. You can say, I know Jesus, but do you really know him? Does he live in your life? Is there an intimacy? Is he personal savior to you? Have you said, I am poor in spirit, and I mourn over what a condition I am by nature? And I said, God, I need some help. Be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. He said, I'll save you. Give you a new life, a new heart, change you, be born again. What a blessed savior. And the hymn puts it, oh, hymn writer, would you help us? Would you tell us what it really means to know what it means to really know Christ and just saying mentally, intellectually, I can say I'm a Christian, but are you really? And that is hymn number 715. There's a bondage, you know. There's a sorrow and there's night. But Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Can we sing it with understanding? Number 715.
Yeah.
Now, dear friends, here we are. Been there, done that. One of these days, the death angel is coming by, and he says, now. And you'll be gone, and I'll be gone. How do you think it's going to be with you? Do you have these glorious birthmarks? Do you have them? That wonderful hymn, coming to Jesus as you are. Have you? Do you know yourself? Do you know what you really are by nature? Do you know that if you die outside of Jesus Christ, you'll die and go to hell? Do you know the glorious promise that if we know Jesus Christ and know Him personally, invite Him into our hearts and turn from our sins, that He'll save us and give us a peace that passes all understanding. We have eternal salvation. And when the death angel comes knocking on our door, he says, come. Say, hallelujah, I'm ready to go. I'm tired of this place. It's fighting. There's all kinds of sin and sorrow. And I'm weary and tired. He says, right, my boy, come. How about it, daughter? You ready? Will you take it seriously this morning? There may be some things you just don't care about. Would you take it seriously about your precious soul? What's it going to profit you that you have all this? You have money, finances, you got beauty, you got everything. You got it made, but do you know Christ? You gain the whole world and lose your own soul. Don't. Listen. Trust Christ. Know what it is to be saved. And our Father, do this. This morning, salvation is of You. We've given Your word. We've tried to explain it as we understand it. We pray You'd take the word and that You'd use it because You said it wouldn't return void. And so You can please do with what You're going to do with it. But we pray that You look upon us, pass us not, O gentle Savior, and save us. May Your blessings be upon us. May we have that great benediction that in the scripture that says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated.